My name is Emma Martin, and this is the Lazy Keto Mum Podcast. If you are looking for help with keto and low carb, you have come to the right place. Tonight is a massive, massive key to your success. Okay, so let's talk about no more diets ever, and we're talking about wired to eat. And we're talking about this white stuff, not snow, not ice, sugar. More addictive than anything on the bloody planet. This is a subject that I'm pretty passionate about because it can make the biggest difference to your journey. We'll hopefully explain to you exactly why you're struggling with some things and hopefully unlock a few Tetris levels for you. So sugar, we love it. We love it. We crave it and we go looking for it. And we have been doing this since man was man or woman was woman because it gives us fast energy. It's like the petrol in the fuel tank that's near the engine that we can put our foot down and bang, you go. And so sugar biologically is superly fast processed. We didn't have all the refined stuff. We might have squeezed it out of sugar cane. We might climb trees for honey. They're all forms of sugar. And often I hear raw sugar is better for you. No, no, it's still sugar. It's actually not better for you at all. But I am going to cover at the end some things that are better for you and that won't spike your blood sugar, natural versus chemical, blah, blah, blah. So firstly, I mean, don't put chemicals in your body. If you want to go sweet stuff, I'll get to that at the end, but it's actually better if you don't go down the sweet road. It's maybe time to cut out some of those sweeteners and just see if you can level up. Last week, we looked at the insulin resistance cycle. So where we eat, our body makes insulin. Sometimes even before we eat, we pictured a food and all of a sudden we were salivating. When that starts to happen, we're making insulin and we're making it in preparation to clear the streets of the debris or the blood sugar. And so the street sweeper starts to fire up his engine and he starts plowing down the road. And the insulin is the street sweeper. So it has to clear it up quickly. Over time, if you spike your blood sugar, spike your blood sugar, spike your blood sugar, your cells become insulin resistant. And what that means is that they've got their ears covered going la, 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 la. Your body, your pancreas has to make more and more and more and more insulin in order to force open or crack open the cell and so that the insulin can stuff the sugar into your cells. What does it store it as? Fat. If you have sugar or you have starchy carbs that are treated as sugar, you're tired. I had some naan the other night and some rice with my Indian. Thought it was a great idea. Nah, so tired. It's like, oh my God, I feel like I need to literally go and lie down. And the reason for that is your body has to slow everything else down in order to prioritize that. And so, yeah, it makes you sleepy. It makes you foggy. You get a headache. That is how you know you're insulin sensitive. Because when you're eating starchy carbs or things that make glycogen or glucose, your body literally will prioritize that and it happens fast. You get a headache, right? That is a sign this is working and that you are on the right path because you're rebuilding your insulin sensitivity. So, and then the cycle begins because you've stuffed away the sugar and the carbs, which are treated as sugar, and all of a sudden you're on this flipping cycle. What happens is sugar does the same thing. The cycle is identical. So we eat sugar, our blood sugar level spikes, our body or our brain releases dopamine, and dopamine's the feel good thing. It's what we get when we meet somebody new. It's what we get when we smile at somebody. It's what we get when we eat sugar. It's what we get when we pick up our phone and somebody sent us a message that we were looking forward to hearing from. It's what we get when we listen to a song that we love, dopamine. That's why exercise is actually good for us because it releases dopamine and endorphins and all of those feel-good things like a sunshiny day. That's why these things are good for us. And so what happens is our body is making insulin. It's released en masse to stuff it into the fat cells as fat. The body now has no blood sugar because it's been stored as fat, and it wants more. And it's exactly the same. You get the hunger, you get the cravings, you get the everything. It is more addictive than cocaine sugar, and it's a dollar a bag. Not only that, but insulin and, well, sugar causes all kinds of damage. It's highly inflammatory. What happens is after you've spiked and spiked and spiked and spiked your insulin, insulin's a fat storage hormone, you become insulin resistant. So the cells just don't hear it anymore. Your blood sugar stays elevated a longer time after eating. And your insulin, your pancreas cells start to get really worn out. They're tired. Like, I just can't do it. And eventually you don't make any insulin, so you have to inject it. If you are diabetic and you are diabetic too and you're not injecting yet, that's what you have to look forward to. Sorry. Diabetic one, a bit different. But when insulin resistance starts to occur, I mean, the good news is you can reverse it like really fast, like weeks. That's the quick version. And then over a couple of years, if you stay on, you can look forward to being metabolically flexible. So type 2 diabetes, PCOS, dyslipidemia, which is where your kind of fat gets a bit out of shape because the cells are a bit freaked out, hypertension, anxiety, depression, obesity, inactivity because everything hurts, so you don't want to be active, aging. You'll see smokers, sorry smokers, but you'll see it's that sort of aging around here and here. You can actually undo that, not only by giving up smoking, but giving up sugar. You actually can clean up all your cells. And if you look at some people who are doing keto and look at their faces, they freaking glow. How can it be bad for you if they're glowing? Like, truly. You can also look forward to more medications, which cause other issues. So we live in a sick care society, where we basically just treat the sick as opposed to healing with food. They're just prescribing, prescribing, prescribing. Doctors, they prescribe. They put Band-Aids on stuff, cover it and cover it and cover it, when actually they should be treating the source. This is where the low-fat guidelines were introduced. But I want you to have a look at around about the late 70s. Look at what happened to sugar as fat was taken out of our food, because fat provides the flavor. Fat gives you flavor and satiety. And so as the fat was taken out, obesity started to climb and sugar started to climb because the food manufacturers needed to add the flavor back. They added inflammatory oils to put the stability back and the mouthfeel when they took out the animal fats. So you've got this toxic blend, and then they added the sugars in to give the flavor. And we've been on a trajectory of obesity ever since. The correlation there is very interesting, because when the fat was taken out and the food pyramid was brought in, there were a lot of very vocal opponents. If it didn't suit big food and the agenda of a lot of the people who were pushing for this, these guys lost their research grants. They got shut down. And scientists without research grants, they don't have a voice. Just an unfortunate series of events. Unfortunately, what happens with sugar is that it bypasses the satiety mechanism. We produce leptin. The more fat we have, the more leptin we produce, because that's what tells us we're full and we've got plenty of fuel. But sugar is a circuit breaker. Sugar flips the circuit breaker on the food cycle. So, for example, the more fat you have on your body, which is just your stores for the winter, you should be making more leptin. But as you become insulin resistant, you become leptin resistant. You're not full, or you're hungry very quickly after. You can look forward to more satiety the further along on this journey you go. And we will talk more about hormones, because it's a major key. Sugar leads to fatty liver, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. Because it is immediately metabolized in the liver and stored around that area as well. One of the fastest ways you can reverse fatty liver is to actually cut back your sugar and let your body burn what's actually around that. And one of the reasons keto works so beautifully is because it starts to burn the fat that your body's put around the organs first. If you're a female, the bra band, or you'll see guys with beer bellies, that here's their body and their belly's high up near their liver. And that's one thing you'll see start to shrink almost immediately, like within weeks. So it happens really fast. With diabetes, basically your body just can't make enough insulin. But that happens over time. It's not immediate. When you're pre-diabetic, you'll start to see the warning signs if it's getting too late. So some complications and signs that you're heading towards diabetes are issues with indigestion. Your eyesight starts to change. Maybe you've got some upset tummy issues. You start to get leg ulcers and foot ulcers. You start to have some hearing loss because of the blood vessels in around your brain and your eyes and your ears. It causes heart disease and inflammation, and also your kidneys start to struggle. You also start to get nerve damage. My dad, he won't listen to me, but he has sharp pains in his feet. He's got the typical belly going on because he loves beer, and you know he doesn't quite understand that his my doctor said my blood sugar's fine. Well, his pancreas is still working right now. But he's got tingling and what's called neuropathy in his feet. It hurts him to walk because he's got nerve damage happening. It can cause problems down there for both sexes. Skin problems. So if you've got adult acne, there's a pretty real chance that high blood sugar is what's causing that. Strokes. Sugar causes inflammation. Urinary tract infection. Sugar also feeds those kind of cells. It feeds the infections. Some really cool studies around infections and sugar feeding the infections as well. Sugar just feeds it. And if you've got icky gut biome, sugar feeds that as well. Fun times. So if you get diabetes, you have to inject insulin because your body doesn't make it anymore. Again, type 1 diabetics, they're different. They can go low carb. They can go keto. They still have to inject insulin because they need some, but they can actually cut it down amazingly. Mary, who's been on here before, is a prime example. I can't remember how much down in her insulin she was, but it was massive. So for that, all you have to do is lower your carbs and sugar, up your healthy fats, and away you go. It's actually so simple. Diabetes 3, this is so cheerful tonight, isn't it? Diabetes 3 is where your brain becomes insulin resistant. The cells in your brain aren't being fed. The door's locked. And one reason keto works with clearing brain fog is that your cells in your brain are getting fed again. When you burn sugar as a fuel, your brain becomes sticky and the information doesn't get transmitted as well. So it's missing some pathways. It's just picture like a swamp and trying to wade through a swamp rather than walking through clear water. And that's basically the start of Alzheimer's and dementia. The research around that is phenomenal. There are over 80 names for sugar. It doesn't matter what they're called, it's still sugar and it bypasses that mechanism. And unfortunately, starchy carbs do the same. Grape sugar and grape juice must be good, right? It's from grapes. No, it's still sugar. Corn sugar, it's made from corn, must be okay. No, agave nectar. No, beet sugar. Oh, it's from beets, must be good. No. All does the same stuff. It's all about the spike of the blood sugar and the insulin. Insulin is a fat storage hormone. If you raise your blood sugar, you raise your fat storage. The reverse is true. Lower your insulin, lower your sugar, lower your fat storage, burn your stores. It's actually that simple, truly. This is a health food product. And I want to list the sugars. I want you to have a little bit of a guess at what you think this might be. Rolled oats, sugar. Enriched flour, treated like sugar in the body. Whole wheat flour, sugar. Sunflower and soybean oil, highly inflammatory and toxic, carcinogenic. High fructose corn syrup, metabolized immediately in the liver as fat. Immediately. Anything fructose. Sugar, honey, dextrose, soluble corn fiber, cellulose, ends in an O's, it's a sugar. High fructose corn syrup again, corn syrup, glycerin, blackberries, sugar, apple puree, modified cornstarch, 17 sugars. But it's healthy, right? It's freaking not. You are eating your sugar and you are spiking your blood sugar. You are spiking your insulin and you're forcing your body into storage. What do we give our kids in their lunchboxes? We don't see the effects of that with our kids for years and years and years. The moment you're eating this, you are literally forcing your body not to burn anything. So I just want you to understand how they bury all of this sugar in health food products. The best option is to shop the outside of the aisles. Start with your meats. Start with your veg. If you've got stuff in your cupboard, don't eat that stuff. Don't feed it to anybody. Get rid of it. It's not good for anybody. Unfortunately, these products are made to last a long time and have long shelf lives, which tells you something. Also, they're handy. It's about finding replacements. The bad news is that carbohydrates are treated as sugar. They are treated by our digestive system exactly the same as sugar. It's just one more process. Blood sugar rises, pancreas secretion, blah, 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 blah. We're back on the flipping bandwagon. No wonder we're struggling. So your cells are absorbing it. It's the whole cycle over and over and over again. So insulin and glucagon ensure that your cells have a supply of blood sugar, but not when you're insulin resistant. So simple carbs, complex carbs. Ideally, we want to be eating the right carbs. So if somebody says to you, keto's not healthy, you're dropping a whole food group, it's rubbish. You're just eating better carbs with fiber that slow down the absorption of the blood sugar. Eat seasonal, eat fresh. I mean, carrots, they're not on any kind of keto list, but they have tons of fiber in them. Pumpkins, not technically keto, but there's fiber in it. And so when you eat these veggies with fiber and you eat it with protein, you're not having these massive, massive spikes. Simple carbs are things like fruits, mangoes. These are basically your fructose. And they're divided really quickly. And they're called simple because they can be divided fast. Our body loves fruit. We're wired to look for it. We're wired to look for the berries because it's really quick, quick energy. Your body will send you looking for it if you're hungry. Then there's complex carbs. Complex carbs are things like cauliflower, broccoli, cabbage, and they have a lot of fiber in them, which take a lot longer and a lot more effort to digest, but you're also getting all of the minerals, all of the fiber. And so you have this much more gentle rise in blood sugar rather than this crazy uncontrolled spike. If your doctor says, well, don't be cutting out the whole fruit group, you go, no, actually, I'm just eating good quality carbohydrates. What you do want to cut out is these starchy carbs. You don't like me a lot right now, rice, pasta, potatoes, white bread, sugar, because they've taken out all the fiber. When you get to your goal point, you might be able to introduce some of this stuff back in. Like every now and again, I'll have some potato or some rice. It might not make you feel that good. And so you may get to a point where you're like, actually, I don't need that. Your body's worked out how to access your fat stores. And that's the point. Another thing worth noting is the glycemic index called GI. Let's take a grain of rice. White rice has had all of the bran removed and we're eating just the middle. That bran or the outside would have slowed down the digestion. So now this has a very, very high glycemic index. It's turned into sugar, glucose really quickly. The more whole a food is, the slower that rate of digestion is. And that's the key. If you're not sure what's going to raise your blood sugar, you can Google the GI or the carb content. If you're going to eat fruits, eat them a little bit unripened rather than really, really ripe. The strawberries have got the high fiber. You have it with a bit of cream, which is fat and protein. It's slowing down that blood sugar response. So good sugar replacements, erythritol. Erythritol and stevia blends are actually really good. And the reason erythritol, stevia, monk fruit, and xylitol are good is because they're plant-based and they have fiber that don't spike the blood sugar. And the blends are good because you're kind of counteracting each other so you haven't got that weird, you know, that sort of stevia aftertaste. certain sugars or sugar replacements do better at certain things. So, for example, if you're making a caramel, then you'd use xylitol because it doesn't recrystallize. Natvia and Truvia are your best brands that you can buy in the supermarket. You can blitz them up and make them powdered so they just dissolve really well. Erythritol, stevia, monk fruit, xylitol. And you can get them at health food shops. If you don't take away anything else, understand that flour is actually sugar and sugar is inflammatory and toxic. So what do? We replace it. You can replace it with almond meal, lupin, coconut flours, flaxseed, chia. All of these don't have the blood sugar spike. Almond meal, almond flour, similar. Almond flour is a lot finer and generally has the husk removed. And if you've had some epic fails at baking, like I had at the start, you will find that it's because the what you're cooking with is too coarse. So you might like to blitz the almond meal into almond flour in your blender or your Thermomix or whatever. Also, coconut's really dense. The other thing that makes these ingredients challenging is that they all absorb moisture differently. So you have to cook a little bit more intuitively. Like if the mixture looks wet, but you've put the right amount of stuff in, you just need to keep adding it until it looks about right. And that can make cooking challenging. But you could, again, you know, if you want muffins, Google keto muffins. You'll soon learn about the replacements.